I'm going to read for you Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. You'll actually find it in the handout that you got on the way in. It'll be printed there if you'd like to follow along. I think the guys have it on the screen as well. So this is Isaiah chapter 9. You might recognize some of the words as things we do often read around Christmas time. And it says this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You've multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is God's word. Now, a few weeks ago, you might remember there was a huge storm. Who remembers the big storm we had a few weeks ago? Yeah, lots of people remember the big storm. Who remembers the power going out and all the lights going off? Do you guys have that as well? Yep, some did. Where we live in Budgeon, the power was out for almost 10 hours. And, you know, I had heaps of neighbors who put up amazing Christmas lights this kind of time of year with inflatable stuff. And one of my neighbors has got this projection in his window of Santa kind of waving and saying hello. You know, I looked down the street. It was all dark. Street lights were out. My neighbor's Christmas lights were out. Phone friends, their Christmas lights were out as well. Their street lights were out. It was pitch black. Except for one little house down the street from us that had a little string of light still going. You see, they were solar powered. And I think there's something to learn from that. I was quite surprised to see my neighbor's house still had a few lights on. It wasn't the best decorated house, no offense at all. We've got a guy who really goes over the top in our neighborhood. So the more modest house next door was the last place I expected to see light. Now, in the passage I read for us from Isaiah, Isaiah talks about an unexpected light coming from a very unexpected place. Part of the Bible we read a moment ago is from the Old Testament. It was written by the prophet Isaiah. These were words that were given to him by God to tell God's people. And they were written about 700 years before Jesus was born. But it tells us a lot about Jesus, and that's why we sometimes call Isaiah the fifth gospel. And so in these verses, Isaiah tells us about a great darkness and a light in the darkness coming from a very unexpected place. So at the beginning of chapter 9 of Isaiah, what we do is we meet a nation who's in the dark. In the Old Testament, light is a picture of God turning his face towards his people in blessing. And while darkness, by the same token, is a picture of God turning his face away from his people in judgment on their sin. And that's what's happened here, as people have ignored God's words and gone their own way. And so in more ways than one, God's people are in the dark. But Isaiah says there'll be a great light and it'll shine on those who've lived in deep darkness. Now, I wonder if you notice when we read some of those place names at the beginning of the reading, places like Naphtali, Zebulun, and Galilee of the nations. They're not places we might find on a map today, although Nazareth we will find on a map. Those are Old Testament places on the northern border of Israel. And you know, it was pretty tough living there because they usually suffered the most during enemy invasions. When enemy powers and countries invaded, they invaded from the north, and those guys did it tough up there. It's the same has actually been true in more recent times. Northern border of Israel, Lebanon-Israeli conflicts in the 1990s and 2000s. They keep firing rockets over this place. It's really a tough place to live even today. And they didn't have a very good reputation up there either. The town of Nazareth, as I've mentioned, is still in this area. And in the New Testament, when one of Jesus' future disciples heard that Jesus was from Nazareth, his response was to say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I'm not going to draw any parallels to places in Southeast Queensland. I'll leave that to yourself. But the point is, it's not a great capital city like Jerusalem. It's here in this unexpected, out-of-the-way border town, border region, that the light is going to dawn. And Isaiah says that that light will bring joy, it'll bring freedom, and it'll bring liberation. Let me read it to you again. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You've multiplied the nation, you've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you've broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." It's a great picture, isn't it? You know, joy and liberation, an end to war, the tools of oppression being broken, boots and battle garments being chucked in the bonfire. It's such a contrast to people who are under God's judgment. And it sounds really great, doesn't it? Joy and liberation and peace and all these. It sounds great at the end of the roller coaster year that was and still is 2019. How does God make it happen, though? That's the question. Not in the way we might expect. God makes it happen through the birth of a child who is everything. You know, one of the best things about the Bible is how it all points towards the Lord Jesus. And here, centuries before that first Christmas night, Isaiah describes the birth of Jesus as the child who would bring God's light into the world. And it's amazing. He's not born in a temple. He's not born in a palace. He's born in the unexpected place, in the stable, in the manger, amongst the animals. So we sometimes call Isaiah the fifth gospel. Remember, gospel means great news. And so he writes this from verse 6. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and evermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Wow, what a child. Now, I've got something I want to show you. I'm going to put this down for a second. Bear with me. I have practiced this only once. How good are onesies? Isn't that just fantastic? You know, look at it. It's got a hood. You know, keep my head warm. I'm not going to put it on now. It's already getting pretty roasty in here. It's got sleeves. It's got, you know, it's an all-in-one. That's what a onesie is. It's an all-in-one. It covers everything. Everything I need, it's all good. I need a helper to help me now. Who's going to come up and give me a hand? Let's say two helpers. Someone who can read. Lawrence, you can give me a hand? No? Louisa, why don't you come up here and give me a hand? No? All right. Come on. Sorry, I won't put this thing on you. Great. I need one more helper. Who's a helper who can read? Jack, you come on. Thanks, mate. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some stuff, and then I want you to pass me these cards as I do that. So there we go. Whoops. Grab that one. Thanks, Jack. So maybe you grab half, and I'll give half to Jack. There's Jack's half. That's your half. All right. Get my sellotape over here. Great. I'm just going to grab a stand for this. It might get easier. Now, did anyone catch what all those names were of that child who was going to be born? I've had the privilege of naming two kids in my life. Certainly didn't give them names like this child's. Okay, let's see what we got. What does Isaiah say about the child? Isaiah says, the government shall be on his shoulder. Now, that's not talking about what goes on in Canberra. That's talking about he's in charge of the whole world. Who's got the one that says in charge of the whole world? Yeah. Thank you. All right, let's see if we can stick this up here somewhere. All right, what's next? He said he's a wonderful counselor. Now, this is about how wise he is. Thank you, Jack. That's great. It's about how wise he is. It's not so much wonderful as in good. It means he's literally full of wonder. He's a supernatural. He's got supernatural wisdom for leading people. Okay? Let's grab that. Let's put that one over there. All right, what comes up next? Next thing we read is that he's the mighty God. The child is also the mighty God. He is actually God in all his power. That's amazing. You got that for me, Jack? Thank you. Mighty God. That one over there, mighty God. What else does it say? It says he's the everlasting Father. Now, this might sound really strange that the child is also the Father. In fact, he's the forever Father. This is about his godness, but it's also about his care and his concern for his people. So he's got everlasting Father. Thank you. All right, put that one over there, everlasting Father. What else have we got? It says he's the Prince of Peace. This is about the character of the way he rules. The kingdom he rules over will have peace that he brings. And it won't just be peace between people. It'll be peace between people and God as well. So it says later on, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. So he's got Prince of Peace. Thanks, Lawrence. You want to go sit down? Okay, you're done. You just want to keep Jack company? All right, and finally in verse 7, one more thing. We're told that he will rule on the throne of his father David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it. Now, this points back to a promise that God made to King David that one of his descendants would sit on David's throne forever, rule over God's people forever. So the child is also, what have you got? God's promised king. There we go. Thank you very much. Thanks, Jack. And thanks, Lawrence. So you can see, just like my onesie, the child is an all-in-one. It's the child who's everything. Okay, I'm going to get out of this now because I'm roasting. But yes. Here we go. Hello. So we discover her child who is everything. Bringing all this together, Isaiah tells us that there's a child who will bring God's light into the world, who's also God himself. And as God, he's a mighty king who's going to rule over everything. And he's the one whose kingdom is going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to keep growing. And he will rule with supernatural wisdom, better than any prime minister or governor or president that we have today. He will rule with power and might, with father-like care and concern for his people. And he will bring a peace between people and people, and between people and God himself as he deals with people's sin. He's the king who's promised all the way through the Old Testament. He will rule with righteousness and with justice. Righteousness, so we know, is about how we relate to God. Justice is about how we relate to one another. So again, it's the child who is everything. Interestingly, righteousness and justice, the way they related to God and the way related to each other, were exactly the same things that the people in Isaiah's day failed on. Same things we fail on today, really. And this king is going to rule and reign forever. Now, I wonder, who's been on a long road trip recently? Anyone been on a long road trip? No, the Thomases have, you guys have. Now, one of the most frustrating things about a long road trip, especially if you're heading down the coast highway towards Sydney, are the roadworks. Do you find that? You just want to hit cruise control and go. But you have to keep stopping because of the roadworks. And stop, go, stop, go. The great thing about this child's rule and reign, God's promised king's reign, is that there are no stop-goes. It just carries on forever. You know, when we follow leaders today, worldly leaders, they die, they get voted out of office in a leadership spill, they get voted out, they fail sometimes. But this king who God promises is going to rule forever and ever and ever. And then the final sentence reminds us that God will make sure that all this happens. He has a clear path ahead, and he's going to bring all of this about. And he did on that first Christmas night when he brought his son into the world. He brought God's light into the world. Was it something I said? All of this is summed up in that wonderful announcement from the angels. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And of course, this child was born. Jesus was born, and he grew up, and he taught God's word, and he did amazing things. And then he was arrested, and he was beaten, and he was executed on a Roman cross. And he did that to pay the price for the sin that stood between us and God, bringing peace between us and God. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. He returned to heaven. As the Bible says, he's now seated at God's right hand, bringing the whole thing full circle. And he is now God's appointed king. The question we've got to ask, though, as we bring all of this stuff from Isaiah 9 together is, have you seen the light? In other words, do you realize who Jesus is? We sing about him at Christmas time. I was watching the carols of the Domain last night, hearing all those wonderful songs. Sing about Jesus. Do we realize who he is? Have we seen the light? The humble Christmas manger might not be where we expect to see God's light coming into the world. Might not be where we expect to find all the truth and purpose and meaning that we're chasing. But the Bible says that what happened on that first Christmas night changed everything. That night, a light pierced the darkness. So do you realize that Jesus is God's promised forever king? He will reign over God's world forever. And if you've realized that, you've got to ask yourself, is he my king? Now, maybe tonight, as we've been singing these things and reading the Bible, you've realized that you have been living in the dark, ignoring God's light, ignoring God's king. Maybe you've realized that you're living under darkness, the darkness of God's judgment on your own sin. Well, this Christmas message about the child who is everything, it's very good news for you. And we'd love to give you the opportunity to respond to this good news this evening about God's King by saying a prayer with me in a moment. It's printed on the back of the handout that you received on the way in. Like if you've got one of those handouts, take it out, have a look at on the back page. If you'd like to respond to the message that we've brought tonight, there's a prayer there that you can say with me, which I'll lead us in a moment. Have a look at it, and if it's a prayer you'd like to say to God tonight, why don't you echo it quietly in your own heart as I lead us in prayer together? If you're not ready to do that, that's also okay. Maybe you'd like to take the bulletin home with you and think about it in the coming days and weeks as we approach Christmas. Feel free to take it home and think about it in your own time. But now, though, if you'd like to pray with me, let's pray. Lord God, I admit that I have been walking in darkness and ignoring your light. I've been living for myself instead of for you. I'm deeply sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you that Jesus came to earth to deal with my sin. From now on, I want to turn from my sin and live with Jesus as my King. Please help me to do that, whatever the cost. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer tonight, why don't you make a plan to tell someone? Tell someone close to you that you've prayed tonight because you want to follow King Jesus from tonight onwards. We'd also love to know so we can help you on the road to living with Jesus as your King. And to do that, we've got some response cards in these handouts. They look like this. And so no one fills out. There's something for everyone to fill in there. The first box you can tick, and I'll get the guys to collect these in a moment, is I enjoyed coming along today. Hopefully we can all tick that box and say I enjoyed coming along today. Then again, if you're not quite ready to follow Jesus as your King, if you still got some questions, that kind of thing, you can tick the box that says I'm interested in doing a short course about Jesus, the Bible, and Christianity. And early in the new year, we'll get in touch and we'll let you know details about that. But then finally, if you prayed the prayer and you would like someone to follow up with you, tick that box and make sure you give us your name and phone number and email so we can follow up with you. We'd love to help you do that. If you need a pen, please shoot up a hand and the ushers will come around now and hand you a pen. And also just to note that none of the information that's on these cards will be seen by anyone else except our church staff team, so it's completely confidential. Take a couple of minutes just to fill out those cards, and when you filled it out, our ushers will collect them from you. I'm going to tick I enjoyed coming along today because I did. I've been having fun tonight. If you've got a card to hand back, maybe shoot up a hand and our guys can see it and come and collect it from you. All right, the last thing we're going to do tonight is we're going to hand out these candles. First of all, we're going to hand them out to the kids, and then everything that's left we'll hand out to the grown-ups. So our wonderful young adults ministry crew are going to come hand out candles to the kids now. And when you get the candle, if it's got a little tab inside it, help the kids to take the tab out so that it actually works, and then you can press a little button, and it comes on like this. Great, and I'm going to ask Joe to dump the lights at the back. No. All right, and while those candles get handed out, I'm going to invite Ben Tay to come up now and read to us from the Bible about a part of the Bible where it talks about Jesus coming as God's light into the world. So, Ben, I'll invite you to come up to that one and do your thing. Well,